Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
My name's Jamie Loftus.
And we talk about how women are represented in film.
In the podcast you're listening to, which is the Bechdel cast.
We use the Bechdel test. Ever heard of it?
No, what is it?
It's a test.
It's like episode 90. Jamie learns what the Bechdel test is. That reminds me of this show that used to be on Disney Channel called Dog with a Blog. Mm. And the first episode I ever watched was like season 2, episode 35. And it was like, the people learn the dog has a blog. It's like deep into season 2 that anyone becomes aware that the blog everyone in town's been reading has been written by a dog. It's a really good show.
Wow.
I think that there's like an R-rated version of that that I think would be really compelling. Anyways, well, what is the Bechdel test? I don't know what it is.
Does the dog in the show identify as any particular gender?
Yes.
Is he male?
Of course, you can't get a television show unless you're a male identifying dog.
Okay, so in that case, the conversation we just had about the dog with a blog does not pass the Bechdel test because we were talking about a male identifying figure.
Right.
So the Bechdel test requires that a movie, let's say, that you're watching has to have two female identifying characters. Mm-hmm. They have to speak to each other. Mm-hmm. And that conversation that they have cannot be about a man.
Let's try it.
Okay.
Hey, Caitlin.
Hey, Jamie.
Bucket hats are back.
Jamie, I would have to disagree.
We did it.
That passed the Bechdel test.
It doesn't pass the rules of fashion, but it does pass.
Yes. So anyway, we are here, as we always are, with a guest. She is a filmmaker, and she is the co-host of the Ethnically Ambiguous podcast on How Stuff Works.
Yay.
Shireen Lonnie Yunus.
That's me.
Hi.
Hi.
So you brought us Aladdin.
I brought you Aladdin.
Disney's 1992 Aladdin.
Yes. Yeah. It's a sentimental treasure of mine. I watched it again yesterday. It was just magical.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it in a couple years, but it still bangs for me. There's infinity things to unpack about it.
Oh, yeah.
What a fun movie.
It's a great movie. It was my introduction to Robin Williams.
Same.
It catapulted my obsession with him. The songs are fun and the lyrics are kind of weird sometimes, but as a kid, you didn't know that. But as an adult, right?
There's a lot of weird, and this has nothing to do with our discussion on gender, and this is the point where people listening or are going to our iTunes page and being like, they don't talk about it enough. But seriously, there's so much like self-referential Disney shit in this movie that is like kind of unusual for Disney movies. Like there's a reference to The Little Mermaid. There's
Goofy at the end.
Yeah. It almost feels like a DreamWorks movie vibe where they're so, they don't give a fuck over there. They're just like, oh yeah, this is a new Shrek movie, but also Boss Baby? And you're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I can't think of a ton of other specific examples aside from there's a moment in Zootopia where they do some self-referential stuff, but I feel like that's not that uncommon for Disney. I feel like they put little like Easter eggs in.
Easter eggs, but I mean, I feel like the ones in this movie and just like reference culture in general is especially, I don't hate it at all. It's just like kind of unusual for this time.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyways.
So Shireen, what is your history with this movie, your relationship? I know you love it. Did you grow up with it?
I did. So I'm Arab. I'm Syrian. And as a kid, you had one thing to relate to, and it was Aladdin, if you were Middle Eastern. I grew up with an older, I have two sisters, and my older sister, she's a year and a half older than me. And so we would grow up watching the same movies, and she would always relate to, like, the princesses and stuff. And, like, she was Ariel, and she was Jasmine and Belle, and I was always the animal sidekick. I was Raja or Flounder or... But I loved it. I was like, I can't wait to be an animal. Like
peak younger sibling.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So sweet.
But as a Middle Eastern kid, you watch Aladdin. I don't know. You automatically like it just because it's like I'm represented at least a little bit, even though it's all by like it's by a white company by with white voice actors. And but they'll say like praise Allah or like even Aladdin at one point says like my esteemed Effendi, and Effendi means like friend. And like as an Arab kid, you know what that means. Like you you'll see Arabic on the screen, and you'll be like I know how to read that. And so watching Aladdin as a Middle Eastern girl, it felt like I was like, oh, I'm seen now. Mm-hmm. That's why I was especially pissed when they were casting the live action movie of Aladdin. I felt like this was like a chance for like a Middle Eastern actress to like get her chance.
Yeah.
And they cast a half Indian, half white girl. So
I haven't been keeping up with the casting for that movie. Is there
Aladdin's Egyptian, which is acceptable to me. But I just think like, and then the argument was like, Agrabah is made up. It's not a real place in the Middle East. Like, yeah, I understand that. But also, right. When else will a Middle Eastern actress get her chance if not for fucking Aladdin?
Like, right.
Right.
You know, so.
And it's Middle Eastern culture that's being referenced the whole time.
The whole time.
So it's like.
The whole time.
That's not really a valid argument
at all.
Yeah.
And even like how the bread looks like in the cartoon and everything, it's very like. Like, that's how it looks like in Syria when my grandpa would come back from the market. Like, it's like these, like, yummy loaves of bread or, like, the bazaar would be, like, something I would relate to. And obviously, it's, like, an ancient time and, like, Syria wasn't, like, that ancient when I would visit there.
Right.
But there are little references that you can relate to and, like, there are similarities that are just, you can't ignore. And it felt cool as a kid knowing that was my movie. And it was a great movie. And it was, like, that's another thing. And then there was also a Super Nintendo video game of Aladdin that we were obsessed with. And it was like, it walked you through the whole thing and you would like eat apples. And that was like your life support on the side, like how many apples you had. And like so many of the genie level was like really hard. And getting out of the Cave of Wonders was really fun. And the whole thing, me and my sisters were like just nerds that loved Aladdin and loved the video game. And it defined a lot of our childhood for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's so unfortunate that, like, that was your one choice as, an Arab girl growing up. Like, this is, like, my one chance to see myself represented on screen. Ugh, it's wild. It also resonated with white kids because I also loved this movie growing up.
Because it's a great movie.
Everyone loves it.
Not for the same reasons as you, but I was just like, oh my God, the genie is fun. He's magic.
Yeah.
And I love, you know. So, I also grew up with this movie. I don't know if I saw it in the theater. I was six when it came out, but we had this on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it all
same.
The time.
Yeah. I watched it last night for the first time in a while, but I still had so many things memorized. Like, it just comes back to you.
Yeah.
Songs, even the little, like, words in the middle of a song that are just, like, random. Like, it's just, everything comes back to you just because you've seen it. Like, it's ingrained in your memory.
There's, like, certain songs that I can, not only did I not realize that I had fully memorized, but I can also hear, like, my little brother at five singing it, like, with me when I hear
that's
something.
That's adorable.
Like, yeah, because my brother used to sing Friend Like Me very loud, and I remember pushing him into a wall once, and his tooth got loose because he was singing Friend Like Me too loud. So.
That's a really lovely memory.
Yeah, what a beautiful memory.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ben.
The genie was like my hero character. I loved him so much, and I loved Robin Williams after I saw that movie. And I always think about like actors now, like comedians that decide to do children's movies, like the kids that are growing up with them probably are getting introduced to them for the first time the same way I was introduced to Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. And so I really love that Robin Williams did that. And he was just so funny. And I love the genie. And my second favorite character was the carpet, because I'm a fucking weirdo.
Dude, the carpet rules.
The carpet is so cute.
Has a big personality.
Yeah. But even the carpet's a boy. They call him a he.
Aladdin genders the carpet right away. And it's how could you know?
How could you know?
It's an it
at best.
The carpet is a genderless icon.
So. I agree.
Jamie, what's your history with Aladdin?
Exactly the same. Yeah. It's just I watched it 500 times and then I pushed my brother into a wall.
Yeah, that was the one difference we had. We never pushed our sibling into a wall.
Maybe over different reasons.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah.
We'll unpack it later.
I'm not judging.
Shall I do the recap?
Yeah.
So, okay, we open on Jafar. He's
my
ominous
crush.
We do need to unpack why Jafar is your crush, but we will get into that. So there's this bad, sinister-looking man named Jafar, and he is trying to get into the Cave of Wonders to get this magic lamp, and he's not able to do it because, the guy he recruited is not good enough.
Yeah. Right. Unworthy.
So then we meet Aladdin, and he and his pet monkey / best friend, Abu.
Mm-hmm. Abu also means father of in Arabic, which always confused me as a kid.
Oh, interesting. Weird.
Like, do you know how in European countries, Johnson is the son of John?
Mm.
Yeah.
And in the Middle East, a nickname you'll call someone by is father of with the oldest child they have. So my father is Abu Remy, which is my sister's name is Remy. So, or Abu whatever is their nickname. So as a kid, the fact that the monkey was named Dad always fucking confused me.
That's so weird.
Always confused me. I never understood it. Anyway, sorry. Tangent.
Well, Abu is all of our fathers. So
yeah, it's what does that
make sense to me? So he and Abu, they are poor. They have to steal their food and they're always in trouble with the law. Then we meet Jasmine and she is the princess. Her father is the Sultan and he is trying to marry her off because laws. Mm-hmm. The law says that she has to be married to a prince by her next birthday, which is in 3 days.
We also don't know how old she is. They never specify. I feel like intentionally.
Mm-hmm, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. They're like, she looks 16, but if anyone asks, she's 25.
Yeah. Also, the Sultan's adorable.
The Sultan
is such a bumbling idiot.
Yeah. His little feet are doofus. Tiny. Yeah.
He is shuffling around. Yeah. I want to see one of those. I don't know if there's a formal word for it, but those things where it's a cartoon without its I guess we do see him in his underwear. I feel like his legs would be a wild shape, but they're regular.
Yeah, he's wearing boxers, heart-shaped boxers. Yeah.
I retract that statement. I was I wish we knew what the Sultan looked like without his clothes on, but the movie actually does do that for us.
It fulfilled our wish. Yeah.
That's my first wish.
Yeah, genie. I want to see the Sultan naked.
And then it's also around here that we learn that Jafar is the Sultan's. That he's not hot, but he is the Sultan's royal advisor.
Mm-hmm. He's Rasputin of the Sultan. Anyways. Sorry.
So then Jafar learns that Aladdin is the person he needs to enter the Cave of Wonders to retrieve this lamp for him. So he basically tricks him.
Chosen one narrative. What's up?
So he tricks Aladdin into going and getting this lamp. And in so doing, Aladdin meets the magic carpet. He gets the lamp. Jafar betrays him, but Jafar does not
get the
lamp.
Jafar is also in disguise.
Yes, yeah,
because Abu steals the lamp back.
Yeah. He's a little pickpocket. So they're now trapped in the Cave of Wonders, but they have the lamp. So that we meet the genie.
Woo! Big number.
Right.
It rules.
Friend it's really like fun. Me.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. I watched it twice.
It's so,
so
good.
Fun. Oh, so good.
So now the genie is Aladdin's master. No. Aladdin is the genie's master.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's granted 3 wishes. For his first wish, he's like, I forgot the part where Aladdin and Jasmine meet. So Jasmine runs away because she's like, I'm not going to marry anyone. I don't want my choices made for me. I'm going to run away from home.
Right.
So she meets Aladdin in the marketplace and they fall basically instantly in love.
Mm-hmm.
But Aladdin gets taken away and under arrest. And then Jasmine, who's like, I'm going to run away forever, returns to her palace.
Literally that night.
Yeah.
After saying, I'll never go back there.
Yeah.
That's how my only trying to run away from home scheme went when I was 13 too. I literally walked to my aunt's house and she drove me home 3 hours later.
Right. Okay. So then for Aladdin's first wish, he's like, wow, I really love this princess. But the genie's like, I can't make anyone fall in love with anyone else. So Aladdin's like, well, what if you make me a prince? That way I have a chance.
To her instead? Mm-hmm.
What if I gaslight this woman into falling in love with me? So genie turns him into a prince and he comes parading into her life being like, oh my God, like.
I'm Prince Ali.
Mm-hmm. Another great number.
Yes.
Love great. Prince Ali.
Any song with the genie is a fucking blast.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
So then he, you know, eventually kind of wins her over because at first she's just like, I don't want you. You're one of these other stuffy suitors. No thanks. But then he reminds her of the boy that she met in the marketplace, right. AKA Aladdin, because that is who he is.
And she has eyes.
And she has eyes.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, that wasn't me, but you're pretty great, so let's hang out. And she's like, okay, fine. Meanwhile, Jafar gets wind that Prince Ali is just Aladdin with the lamp. So he tries to kill him.
Yeah, I forgot that, like, of the few, like, moments that I did not remember about this movie at all, I forgot that they knock him out and throw him off a cliff.
Yeah. Like, to his death. Like, he has a weight on his feet, and he's, like, pretty much dead.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, truly necessary to show us all of that? But right. It was wild.
And that's when Aladdin uses his second wish to basically have the genie save him from dying.
Right.
And he had promised the genie that he was like, you know what, for my third wish, I promise to set you free so that you're not my slave anymore. And the genie's like, okay, great, I hope that happens. And then there's a moment where Aladdin's like... Actually, they want to make me Sultan, so, like, I can't
I'm
free
gonna,
you.
Like, I would love to free you from slavery, but I actually need you to help me lie to a woman for the rest of her life.
And yours.
Yes. It's like, oh, cool.
But then Jafar steals the lamp, and then he uses it to, like, take over Agrabah.
Honestly, Jafar uses the lamp pretty wide. Like, he leverages the lamp in a way of like, oh, yeah, Aladdin, you fucking idiot. You're wishy. You were thinking small.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You made your monkey into an elephant, and then fucking Jafar took over the entire kingdom.
In, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, he had an agenda. He had a schedule to maintain.
He's busy.
And then, of course, like, Aladdin's like, no, I'm not going to let this happen. So he goes and defeats Jafar.
After Jafar tries to kill Aladdin with a series of visual puns.
Yeah. Get to the point.
Yeah, it's actually
nice. I'm just getting warmed up.
Breathe fire.
So then he turns into a gigantic phallus and then a buff genie. And then he's defeated.
Right, because Aladdin... He convinces Jafar to become a genie, which will enable him to have all the power in the world. He will then also become enslaved because that's what being a genie is. So Jafar falls for it.
Yeah, big misstep on Jafar's part. Also, the video game was so fun because the final boss was like multiple levels. Like, first it was Jafar, then it was him as a snake, and then it was him as a genie. And it was so fucking fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was so fun.
Any nude Sultan in the movie?
No. Darn.
He's not a boss.
So Jafar gets defeated, and then Aladdin learns the lesson to just be who you are, and then he frees the genie. Jasmine still loves Aladdin because she's like, you know what? I always liked you when you were poor, so this is fine. And then
Jasmine influences policy, and Sultan changes the law. Yeah.
So that she can get married, because that's her one function in this story.
Kissy, kissy, kiss. Bye-bye. Slurp and good night.
Yes.
So that is the movie. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to have our discussion.
Ooh. Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we're back.
Woo.
Let's talk about the Jafar? Gender politics of Aladdin. Oh, also Jafar. Okay. Okay. Please explain to me, what about Jafar makes you have a crush on him, or had a crush?
This is true. This is like a really where it's like, that is a crush I had so early in my life before I fully understood what a crush even was, that I cannot tell you.
Okay.
Why I have a crush on Jafar. I just know I always have. And I thought that, first of all, I will say Aladdin has no nipples.
No, none.
What is that about? Jafar, we have to assume, has nipples. So that's a point for him. I really don't know. I just thought like Jafar was like really tall. I was like, he's so much taller than Aladdin. So cool. Mm-hmm. I liked that he had like his cool evil apartment. I liked his outfit. I liked his laugh. Liked his voice. You know, I just think that there were redeeming things about Jafar that warranted a crush. But my cartoon crushes, it was Jafar, and it was Peter Pan, and it was John Smith. So I'm kind of all over the
John
board.
John Smith.
I know.
A boring motherfucker. Are you serious?
He's a chiseled boring motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've since grown up and no longer.
Cocoa was far hotter than dumbass John Smith.
Cocoa was hot though.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, a grown woman knows.
I still
like Cocoa is the choice.
I have like PTSD just remembering the necklace like just breaking. God damn, never be the same. Sorry, this is about Aladdin.
Yeah.
So if you boil down this story, we've already hinted at this, but it's basically a story about a man who, the second he gets access to just a little bit of power, he uses it to gaslight a woman into thinking that he's a prince and into falling in love with him.
Right.
Yeah.
You could argue that she's already interested in him, mm-hmm. but as Aladdin, so he...
Well, yeah.
Should we just, like, get into Jasmine?
Yeah.
Because there's
one female character, you mean?
No, exactly. That's going to be the bulk of our discussion today. Yeah, there were parts of Jasmine's character that I didn't... I didn't remember her being as headstrong as she is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of, like, really good lines from her.
I like that about her. I remember as a kid growing up being, like, she's kind of a badass. Like, she tricked Jafar, even though she had to kiss him at the end. But, like, she still, like, was, like, smart. And then she has a line, like, in the very beginning, where she's like, I have no friends, except for you, my pet tiger, who's, I guess, a girl. So it was, like, this lonely, but somehow still smart badass person that I was like, you're not too bad. So I kind of liked as a kid that she wasn't like represented too flimsy. And I also appreciate as a kid, I remember very distinctly that they made the Sultan like a softy.
Yeah,
they didn't make him this typical like angry Arab man. Right?
That's and then like other, I mean, even like pitted against other Disney princess fathers, like I was thinking about the Sultan versus King Triton,
right,
was awful and violent and wrecked all his daughter's stuff and was like scary.
Yeah.
And the Sultan, and I guess Belle's dad too. Mm-hmm. Like
they also had similar character design when I think about it. Little tiny feet,
little tiny men.
Yeah.
Plump little men
who were like,
endearing.
I love you, but I'm still sexist.
Yeah, I love you, but also get married now.
Mm-hmm. And this is another example of a Disney princess without a mother.
Yes,
dead mom. Only has a dad.
A classic trope.
Yes.
The Sultan makes one reference to her mom. He says, after Jasmine's like, I don't want to get married in less than 3 days. And he's like, her mother wasn't nearly so picky, which I think is a little dig at himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you look at Jasmine next to the Sultan, you don't see a lot of Sultan in her. Gotta think she's got a hot mommy.
Yeah. But yeah, her sole purpose is to, I mean, now that I think about it, a lot of Disney movies, that's the main purpose of all the female characters, whether it's Pocahontas, Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. or like whatever. It's just like, be obedient to your father. Yeah.
Right.
So it's kind of unfortunate that I just hash it in my head.
Well, and like all the princess narratives are very formulaic in that way, where especially like during like the Disney Renaissance era, you see like princesses unlike Sleeping Beauty, who's knocked out for the whole movie, and Cinderella, who's like, la, 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 I don't know, maybe someone will come and fix everything. You know, like these princesses have more identity and they're more headstrong. But by the end of the movie, it's like, there is some sort of major compromise mm-hmm. where they can still be themselves as long as daddy's happy, as long as they get married, as long as, like, there's always, like, yeah. this caveat mm-hmm. of, I don't know, like a Disney trying to, like, keep their conservative values and
right.
try to push forward a little bit, mm-hmm. but ultimately sell backpacks yeah. in every state.
Lunchboxes, backpacks, mm-hmm. yeah, the whole shebang.
Right. As we were saying, like, if you isolate Jasmine as a character, like, the things that she says, the stances mm-hmm. that she takes, her intelligence and, like, being able to figure things out and, like, read the people mm-hmm. around her, like,
I am not a prize to be won.
Exactly. Like, yeah. She doesn't want to be forced into marriage so much so that she runs away from home. So mm-hmm. she, like, arguably has a little bit of agency, but then she does return back to the palace less than 24 hours later. So, you know, there's that. But, like, if you just isolate her, you're like, oh, yeah, like, this is an admirable character. This is someone that, like, little girls can look up to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But her purpose in the story is still just to be Aladdin's love interest. So she doesn't really have a function outside of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the narrative does screw her over several different times.
Especially by the end, where she's literally like the classic lead female character benched during the climax of the movie in some horrifying way. We've got Mary Jane in a web. Mm-hmm. We've got Jasmine in an hourglass. We've got
yeah.
the woman in Pacific Rim launched out of the scene. It's like happens all the time in a series of visually obnoxious ways. But
oh, then Meg and Hercules in the underworld?
Yes. Yeah. Crushed by a yeah. column. They like yep. killed her. And then Whoa. They're like, okay, Hercules Dude, is actually yeah. going to bring you. It happens all the time. And I think even in The Little Mermaid, Eric is the one who like stabs
Ursula.
Defeats. Yeah. There's also some big similarities between Ursula and Jafar that I was noticing, where mm-hmm. they both go into disguise to trick someone.
Oh, right.
They both get huge at the end of the movie and are end of similarities. But
well, they're also both coded gay, the way that absolutely. Many, many Disney villains are.
Yeah. But before we get there, so the one thing Jasmine is allowed by the story to do before she's benched until the movie's basically over, and then all she has to do is get married, influence policy, and then get married. but she tricks Jafar. I wasn't totally clear on this. Does she see Aladdin? Is she just trying
yes.
to distract yeah. Jafar? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So she does that. She's really smart. We've seen her like
yeah.
trick people before and like distract and blah blah blah. But like the story makes her do it with her sexuality.
Right.
And also
he calls her pussycat.
Yeah. He calls her pussycat, which it's just like
makes my skin crawl.
I'm like, you don't want to kiss a woman, Jafar. Let's just like
yeah.
and what a gross, and I forgot that they actually kissed.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you hear the background when she's like trying to like seduce him, she just keeps like saying these like ridiculous things like mm-hmm. the gap between your teeth uh-huh. and you're so tall and like
your eyebrows are yeah. so and your beard is so twisted
yeah
it's disturbing but yeah. I liked her because she was smart, like even when she first yeah. sees Aladdin he says like, do you trust me, and she already knows it's him with the whole apple thing on the magic carpet mm-hmm. like she already figured it out. It's not some like Miley Cyrus like it's obviously him, and she
right.
knows it, and she figures it out right away.
Aladdin as Hannah Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
And even at the beginning where she is like, she leaves the palace and goes to, I was worried, I was like, oh, I feel like Aladdin kind of rescues her, but in the end it sort of ends up being this team effort
mm-hmm.
where he's, you know, he swoops down, he falls in love at first sight, he's like, oh, she's hot, although I have theories about Aladdin that I'll get into, but
okay.
he like looks at her, he's like, oh, she's hot, better rescue her from this cop. Very anti-cop movie, which is interesting.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the moment in the marketplace where she does not know how commerce works.
Right, yeah.
So she's like, here, let me give you this apple, little kid.
Like, I have to pay?
Right. And the vendor's like, excuse me, please pay for that. And then he threatens to chop off her arm.
Kill her.
Right, and then Aladdin has to swoop in and save her.
Right. Yeah. But then he... Like, when he says, like, oh, this is my sister, she doesn't know, Jasmine does start to, like, play along and play into it. And it's
he
like,
does say
she's
crazy, and then she has to play along with being crazy, because women be crazy, obviously.
Women's so crazy.
Yeah. Right. So they're like, oh, seems believable.
Yeah.
but then she saves him, like, with 10 minutes later.
Oh,
When the
guard comes after him and she's like unhand him.
Yeah, by order of the princess.
That's
so
true.
So I don't know. I like Aladdin and Jasmine's relationships more than I like most.
Same.
It seems relatively
balanced
in comparison.
Other than
to
the
other
fact
ones.
That the movie is called Aladdin.
Right.
Well, he is the protagonist. She is the love interest. He's pushing the narrative forward. She's just kind of like, she does make some choices, but for the most part, things are just sort of happening to her. Their romantic relationship is depicted a little bit better than what we're used to seeing, especially in Disney movies, where he does value her for her looks, which he does say, like when he's describing.
But it's the third thing he says.
He does say she's smart and she's fun. And beautiful.
And then Jeannie goes, like, is she hot?
Yeah.
And he's like, yes.
And then also, whenever they're sort of, like, he brings her to his, like, studio apartment or whatever. And
lives in Silver Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
Lives near the reservoir.
Yeah.
And they realize that they're starting to, like, connect and like each other because they share a similar experience. So they both feel trapped.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just that he finds her attractive. And I will also say that this is one of the few movies where she's, like, made to be less hot and he still finds her attractive because she's wearing this, like, kind of big, like, robe and, like, her insane body type, which we will talk about, is kind of covered up. Mm-hmm. So he gets a glimpse of her, like, face and her hair and he's like, ooh, who's that?
Yeah, that's something, like, as a kid, her body was very, like, belly dancer, like, very just, like, stereotypical, like, Middle Eastern sexuality, whatever. And that kind of made me... I never wanted to be Jasmine for Halloween because first of all, was not allowed to wear those things. And second of all, it was just like, I'm not, that's just too sexy for an 8-year-old to wear.
Not age appropriate.
No. Yeah, I think she is like sexualized more than
extremely
white
sexualized.
Princesses. Yeah.
And I think it's because it's a Middle East. I mean, like, maybe I'm biased. Like, I think they exploited some of the culture a little bit too much. Like, even in the first, like, verse of the Arabian Nights song, they say it's barbaric, but hey, it's home. Like, it's like you're, and then like cutting off a hand for stealing an apple. It's just like the culture is either very barbaric or very sexualized or very just over the top. Exploitative sometimes just to serve the narrative.
For sure.
And I see it more now than I did back then, for sure.
There's a lot of things like that. Like, the only characters with accents are villains.
Yes.
Like, there's all kinds of stuff where it's very exploitative.
Yeah.
And, like, not necessarily painting Arabic culture in a positive light.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought another comparison that I was like, oh, it is so different the way it's depicted in Aladdin is the one jump ahead sequence is not entirely dissimilar from Belle walking through her village at the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, where it's like, okay, this is where we are. This is what it's like here. And both sequences are like depicting like a lower class community, but the way they do it in Aladdin is way more violent, way more like it's very different. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's completely true. Even the side characters, whether it's like some like matronly person like coming on to Aladdin, like they're all very just unattractive people in the marketplace or in the bazaar or in the whatever. They're just not flattering depictions of the Arab culture.
Also, the things like sword swallowing, like fire eating, all that stuff is like usually made to seem like a joke or like a gag for kids to be like, oh my God, what?
Yeah, and all the women, even in like the parade for Ali, Prince Ali or whatever, they were all belly dancer looking. Like all the hot girls were all just like in very just like hourglass figures and racy outfits or whatever. And I like can respect that belly dancing is a part of Arabic culture and Middle Eastern culture for sure. But as for a children's movie, it would have been nice to have a woman dressed in something else.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's either that or then Jasmine covered up in a potato sack. It's just like there's two. Yeah. I don't know.
She and I'm sorry I keep comparing it to Beauty and the Beast, but there's another analog there of like the three belly dancers who they're in.
Oh, Gaston's like little like women people?
Yeah, and yeah. The three, and they are significantly more covered, but they're the same three characters basically, but I'm pretty sure that the women in Beauty and the Beast had names.
Yeah.
And
oh, really?
The women in, I believe that they do. Oh. And in Aladdin, those characters don't get names, but they show up multiple times. They're in Prince Ali. They're in One Jump Ahead.
Oh, that's the same. Those are the same women?
The same. Unless the characters are drawn that, but I'm pretty sure it's the same characters.
No, I think that's probably true.
Because they're like in the same area. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Is the implication during One Jump Ahead that like Aladdin has like possibly hooked up with a lot of ladies in town? Because I was thinking that this time where it's like every time he runs into a lady in the marketplace, like, they're like, hey, it's like maybe he.
I mean, I read it as being like, oh, he's well liked and everyone knows him because he just is always around and like is homeless. But like maybe it is like he's a player.
Maybe. I mean, I'm like kind of here. I don't buy that Aladdin, when he meets Jasmine, is like this virginal
young
man. I was like, Aladdin, like, fucks. I think Aladdin fucks. The nippleless wonder of Agrabah fucks.
Like, the chosen one has to be.
He has to be a fucking stud. Yeah. So my theory is Aladdin has...
The way he carries himself is certainly... He has the confidence of someone that has had sex.
And the way that he whisks Jasmine into a studio apartment. Like, oh, you've done this before. Where he's like, and the view... You know, like when you go home with someone and it's like, okay, this is like, stop tap dancing.
That's actually really funny.
It's like he's done this
before. I love how we keep calling it a studio apartment. I love it so much.
It is, though. Yeah. You're totally right.
Yeah. He did have he had a whole routine. And... Oh, there's a moment which we come across a lot, which is very annoying, where a woman does a thing that he did not expect a woman could do, and they have to pick their jaws up off the floor. It's when he's taking her to his studio apartment.
The jumpy thing?
Yeah. He like pole vaults over like a gap between two buildings.
That's
and then he's like, he's like, you're going to need this board to walk across. And then as he's like laying down the board, she also pole vaults over it. And he's like, a woman can do a thing.
But also,
she's like, I'm a fast learner.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You were homeschooled. This is your first time out of the palace. Like, can you really learn the fast? I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
That scene in general, though, like, I was more impressed by it than I thought I was going to be.
Same.
Where it's like Aladdin, he does his whole like bachelor bit or whatever, but he doesn't like come on too strong. It's clear he's trying to get to know her a little bit. He's asking her questions. She like is clearly expressing interest in him in a way I think we don't see a lot in Disney movies. Mm-hmm. Usually it's she's like, I hate you, and he's like, so there's hope. That's every other. But it's like it was cool to see a couple who clearly are into each other.
Yeah.
And the fact that when he meets her, like you were saying, Caitlin, like, he doesn't know that, like, and I think that once he finds out she's a princess, he values her more than he did when he met her, which sucks. But it's clear that, like, base level, they like each other, they vibe.
There's chemistry.
They're like, about to kiss.
Yeah.
And
they had known
the
each other for 30 minutes, and they're like, better kiss already.
Right.
I could see that he values her more after he finds out that she is royalty, but he also feels like a lot of shame for it. He's like, oh, I must have sounded so stupid. Like, I don't know. I feel like, and Jasmine doesn't value status in a man. So she's like, I actually like this guy who is borderline homeless and, you know, doesn't have any wealth, doesn't have any status.
He's not stuffy like the other suitors.
He can't even afford nipples.
This is not unlike a movie like Titanic, say, where Rose falls in love with a poor boy named Jack Dawson.
Well, that's the thing, though. So the protagonist can be a poor person as long as he's a boy, and he's like his value does not equate with his status at all. But the woman, I feel like it's never reversed, other than like Esmeralda that I just thought of. But like, it's, I feel like to value the woman character, she has to at least be rich or like at least have something else going for her other than being just like a poor person. Because like, there's one part where you think Aladdin has fleas. And when I was like thinking of them like being together in a studio apartment, I was just like, he probably smells bad. And like, she's still into him because he's like Aladdin and he's nice. Like,
right.
I don't know.
And then, I mean, and even like going off that, the way that like poor women are drawn in that world is totally different. Yeah. Where, like, yeah, they're the only two female characters, like, in the Agrabah marketplace are either, like, bigger, older women wearing, like, potato sacks or belly dancers, and that's it.
Yeah.
Another quick Titanic reference, though. Jafar needs the use of the mystic blue diamond that the Sultan has to be able to figure out who the diamond in the rough is, who can enter the Cave of Wonders. I would like to think that it's the same blue diamond from Titanic, the heart of the ocean.
Does Aladdin take place in the Titanic verse?
It sure does. Yeah.
I would like to really quick discuss the Cave of Wonders as a vagina metaphor. Because it is, okay, the Cave of Wonders, I think, is a vagina metaphor. I used to have nightmares about the Cave of Wonders all the time. Mm. Fear of own sexuality? Maybe. Okay. Question, do you think in the quest for the clit, would the lamp or the jewel that Abu takes, which? Thoughts?
Oh, God.
I'd like to open the floor.
Sure. Well, I have not given this any thought up till now. Well, whenever Abu touches the giant jewel, that's what causes...
Gets mad.
Yeah. So I would say it can't be that, but I also don't think it's the lamp. Honestly, I never thought to... Well, okay, I see the comparison.
It's a gigantic cat.
It's a gigantic cat. Cats.
That's where it begins. Jafar won't go near it.
Oh my God, that's very true.
He doesn't even try to go inside. Yeah. He keeps finding straight men to go in.
Cats do have eight nipples, though. This is Cat Facts with Caitlin.
I feel like it's the ruby.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Like it is. Yeah.
I was leaning towards the ruby. The lamp, I don't know what that would qualify as.
Okay, here's what I think it is. I don't think they come across the clitoris at all because
straight men don't find it.
Because they don't find it. And if they do, they have no idea what to do with it. So, like, the jewel, touching it has very bad consequences, which is not what happens in real life.
That's true.
Yeah.
Touching it has like lava and everything erupting. Maybe it's like a period.
Unless
also
that's a metaphor for an orgasm.
No. The vagina was very upset.
Yes, true. Yeah,
and trapped them permanently. And finally,
is that not what happens every time you orgasm? Okay.
I would like to propose. let's just body hack ourselves and figure out how to get our vaginas to flood with lava when unhappy. I think that's great.
You mean menstruating?
Whoa. And then last Cave of Wonder question, promise. By those rules, because we're led to believe that the guy at the very beginning, Gazim, dies.
Right.
But wouldn't he just still be there if Aladdin was still in there? Isn't Gazim in there somewhere?
No, I think the carpet kind of saved Aladdin. Because when Aladdin was falling, the carpet kind of like lifted him up. So I think Gazim didn't have a happy fall.
I always got the impression that he got trapped in the sand. Like he got crushed by, he suffocated because he was just in the sand.
Don't enrage.
From the thing collapsing.
Don't enrage the gigantic vaginas. No. You will die.
Right.
And on that note, let's take a quick break.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we are back from the Cave of Wonders, where we did go during our break.
tricked the genie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just a little bit more on Jasmine and sort of her characterization. She's constantly saying things like, I'm not going to stand around while you make choices for me. I'm not a prize to be won. Because there's a scene where, like, the Sultan and Prince Ali and Jafar are all, like, hanging out. Prince Ali's like, just let her meet me. Like, she's going to freaking love me. I'm so cool.
But he also knows that he already, like, I held that against him too, but it's like he already knows that she will like him because they've met.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. That's true.
I give him a pass.
But I don't know. I think he could have handled it better.
Sure.
Because now that he's a prince, he's like all cocky and he's not behaving well. And then, you know, Jasmine's like, I am not a prize to be won. He does win her over in the next scene, so not really
because he kind
sure
of breaks
that.
Into her balcony.
Yeah, he invades her personal space, and he's like,
she does tell him to kill himself.
She does. She's like, go jump off that balcony. But I was trying to like make sense of this because I was like, well, you know, he's still kind of acting like he's entitled to her. She should be like instantly falling in love with Prince Ali. But I think it's because she senses that he is this boy from the marketplace, that she already likes him. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have figured all that out as a kid. I can't remember.
Well, because after the whole magic carpet ride, he admits that he is the same person, but he
still
dresses
lies
as
about
a commoner.
It.
Doubles down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doubles down on the lie.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jasmine's like, well, I did that too. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess.
Right. It makes sense. I don't know. And then Jasmine, at most points where she needs to be confronting a man who's trying to lie to or disenfranchise her in some way, she usually does, which is cool. And I don't think we see a lot of princesses do that either, where even though she does go back to the palace right away, she goes back to confront Jafar right away.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, sorry, I had him killed. And and then she later confronts Aladdin when she's like, why are you lying? Later, I guess she doesn't confront her dad, but her dad sees that she's upset and does listen to her. And this also affects Jasmine's first policy change, which is that Jafar can't be a dictator, which is cool, even though he later ignores that. Very, very fashy character, Jafar.
Right. And then in the climactic sequence, which we've already touched on, where Jasmine pretends to love Jafar in order to distract him, Jafar quickly figures out what's going on, so he traps Jasmine in this giant hourglass, which means that, one, she cannot participate in the climax of the story, which we see over and over again, which we already talked about a little bit, and it means that she has to be saved by the male hero. So it's all these tropes that we see in so many classic hero tales, chosen one, you know, adventure stories.
Yeah. Which is too bad, because it's like Jasmine does more and, like, advocates for herself more than most characters we'd like seen up to that point
in Disney movies. Yeah,
right. And then of course, because it's a Disney movie, they sell her up the river by the end because stories, because hero stories,
because she's a female that needs to be saved.
Yes. To Aladdin's credit, he does apologize to Jasmine for lying to her throughout the whole movie. Unlike movies like She's All That, where Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, you know how I lied to you and manipulated you this entire movie? I'm not even going to bother to apologize
or mention it.
Yeah. So at least he apologizes, but it's one of those things where it's like one apology from a man undoes all the bad behavior.
I love that
he
is
means
still
it. But he means it.
Yeah, he does, but like...
That was sarcasm. I mean, like...
But like, that wasn't interesting. I was thinking about she saw that during the sequence where Aladdin kind of like gets a makeover too, mm-hmm. but he gets like the most empowered makeover
right.
of all time, like one that would never be afforded to a female.
Oh, right. It's not to yeah. make him more... hot or appealing.
It's not even to change his personality, which is a big part of it. It's like right. he still has Aladdin's personality. He's just like wearing nicer clothes and lying about his identity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so in movies where women have to be made over, it's almost always to make them more attractive, usually to the opposite sex mm-hmm. for very heteronormative reasons. In like Aladdin, he's getting a makeover to assume a position of more power, to assume like a leadership position where he's mm-hmm. can, you know, have access to more power.
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe have access to her.
And access to her. Yeah.
So Aladdin's makeover is to make him more dominant, whereas most female characters are made over to be more submissive, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, very cool.
We
very
cracked
cool.
it. We cracked
hacked,
it.
We hacked it.
We hacked storytelling. We've done it.
Can we talk about the queer coding of Jafar?
Please.
And Disney movies in general, and a lot of movies where there's like kind of a classic Scar. Villain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot.
Ursula.
Ursula. Hades. Mm-hmm. Radigan.
A lot of people argue Maleficent.
Tons of them. So basically, if you're not familiar with the concept of queer coding, it's basically assigning harmful stereotypical tropes to characters. Oftentimes they are villains, to vilify them further. And it's a very harmful thing in general, and especially when young children are seeing it, because they're like, you know, their subconscious brains see these characteristics in these villains. So they think, oh, those characteristics yeah. must be bad if a person in real life displays them. So it just kind of perpetuates homophobia, and it equates stereotypically queer traits to being bad or negative in some way. And lots of Disney movies do this to their villains.
And they, I mean, it existed prior to that.
Yes,
and
yeah. since,
but like, yeah, it's like especially harmful to see it in children's movies right. over and over.
Especially because there are no queer characters in those mm-hmm. Disney movies that are good, the heroes. Or,
right. or at all.
Just, yeah, at all.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just a really bad thing that keeps happening. Because you could argue that, like, the crab in Moana is sort of coded queer.
Oh.
Like some other... Oh, like the Wreck-It Ralph. Pretty recent movie. The villain in that movie is coded queer. So, they have not stopped doing this, even though surely they know it's problematic, but they just keep at it.
Well, I think maybe they tried to make Jafar, when he was like, I'll have her fall in love with me. I'll have Jasmine fall in love with me. That was like, I feel like it was Disney's attempt to be like, see, like, he's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then before that happens, actually, before he's made Sultan, when he's thinking of marrying Jasmine anyway just to become Sultan, his next idea is, oh, then I'll throw both her dad and her off a cliff.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's like, it's not, yeah.
He's like, okay, I guess I'll marry a woman, but only so I can yeah. immediately kill her.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I guess I'll marry this shrew. He calls Jasmine
a shrew.
And then later in the movie, whenever he's like, yeah, we're going to get married, and Jasmine's like, oh. And he's like, speechless, I see. A fine quality in a wife. And
right.
it's like, wow, yeah. Jafar, feminist icon.
Yeah. He's a villain. Yeah. It's harmful for children. I feel like it just like pumps you up with all the wrong ideas about queerness at a very, very young age. The one thing that at least seems like a semi-positive is that there are like portions of the queer community that have like reclaimed these characters mm-hmm. and there's like festivals around them and like they've been re-embraced in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to have queer villains if you also have queer characters.
Right. Yeah, queer yeah. heroes.
But yeah. That's completely absent from mm-hmm.
and it just
basically
sucks that,
all
like,
of children's entertainment.
It sucks for the queer community, even if they have, like, reclaimed these villains and, like, celebrate them, it still sucks that, like, that's pretty much the only representation of, first of all, they're not even explicitly queer, they're just, like, coded that way, and then they're also villains, and it just sucks that that's, like, the only representation that the queer community has in at least children's movies.
I mean, I identify as queer, and I think maybe that's why I like the animal movies so much. And that sounds like a weird thing to relate that to, but like I related more to Raja than I did the princesses, or like I related more to the movie Dumbo than I did to any other princess.
Ah, yeah.
Because like I think seeing an animal for whatever reason made me feel more comforted than seeing a woman or a boy character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's true for everyone else. I mean, for me as like a queer kid, I appreciated the animal characters because they were just like, they weren't explicitly a boy or a girl most of the time. Like Flounder, like had like a boyish voice or whatever, but like it was a little fishy.
Pretty genderless.
Or Carpet even, like it was more just like these characters that didn't necessarily make me feel that I was any less of a girl or any more, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
genderless icon, that's what I'm saying with that Carpet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's also sad though to think that like that's what I related to versus like actual like characters,
sorry to straight cis plane queer coding.
Oh no, it's not what I was trying to get at.
Oh, but yeah, like, no, but I fully recognize that when I like do that, I'm like, yeah, I'm a straight cis lady. I think I don't even know anymore. I mean, like, I do
appreciate recognizing queer coding for sure and stuff, but there's also part of me that thinks like, well, even knowing like, oh, their voices or the way they speak sometimes, like even thinking, I mean, like I know that I'm fully aware that they intended it to be queer coding because like that's just like they're trying to make those queer traits seem unattractive or unflattering. But at the same time, it's like, is it on us also for thinking that way? I don't know. I kind of get in my head about it too much. Does that make sense?
Of like, well, it takes two to tango, kind of a thing. It's like, or if they're sending out these messages, we have to be like receiving them in a particular way. Or I think I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But I mean, I do blame Disney a lot for just in general, because I mean, they're so conservative and you don't see it until you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, it just subliminally just like accept it all, and like watching Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast or any of those movies as an adult is so different. Like Hunchback of Notre Dame is dark as fuck.
Oh my god,
it is so dark,
so dark.
The whole fucking like Esmeralda, like that what's his face, the villain desiring Frollo. Her, and like it's so dark. But as a kid, it goes over your head. So I think Disney sometimes, I don't know. Their agenda is a little wacky. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's another movie where, like, I cannot think of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of a movie with, like, a white princess where she has to, like, kiss the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because that happens in Hunchback of Notre Dame and Aladdin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ugh, I don't know. Just
no,
like,
that's totally, it's so true. And it's really unfortunate because women of color are more often sexualized than white women.
Absolutely.
Just across the board, whether it's in live action stuff or cartoons. And it's just unfortunate that it's even in children cartoons, like even like the dark skinned lead female will be sexualized. And that just like plays into a child's idea of what those women are like and what those women are like dress like and what those women will do to with them or whatever. So it's like, it's so damaging. It's so damaging. Yeah.
And then like her body type too. We talked about this a little bit in the episode we did on Frozen, but her body type of like this tiny, tiny, tiny waist that like does not adhere to anything that you would see in the natural world. And like,
it reminded me of Ariel's body type a lot too.
Yeah, they are animated and like drawn the same way in that they like are the most scantily clad, and they have these just tiny, tiny frames and adhere to this like very unrealistic Western beauty standard. I mean, her head is wider than her waist. Like, it's insane.
Let's please Photoshop ourselves to do that.
so it's just so harmful for little girls to see this and think, oh, that's, I guess, the ideal that I have to strive to.
And everyone thinks she's beautiful and like whatever. And yeah.
And she, like, her beauty is so coveted. And we see this again and again in so many Disney movies where it's this same body type. We don't get any differentiation really in like the female leads of these Disney movies and in just media in general, video games, live action movies, like everything. That's like this very, you know, the most desirable women has the same, you know, body type, and it's this very, very unrealistic,
very virginal. I mean, Jasmine's another, like, the movie goes out of its way to be like, she's literally never left her house. Don't worry, she's pure. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So very harmful.
Yes.
Oh, early on, like we said, like, Jasmine is a pretty cool character if you just isolate her. She's smart, she's capable, she does make some active choices in the story. But then you'll have a scene where the Sultan is like, yeah, I'm trying to marry you off, and it is because of this law that I have control over changing, but I'm not going to do that. I'm instead just going to make sure you get married in 3 days or less.
And then also, he says, like, I need to make sure you're taken care of because you can't take care of yourself.
Right. Like, I'm not going to be around forever. I just want to make sure you're taken care of, provided for, because, of course.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can, like, consider the era that this movie takes place in, and this, you know,
fictional
world. But, like, let's just subscribe to the patriarchy in this world that doesn't exist. That's cool, too. So, yeah, Jasmine just, like, overall, she does have a little bit more agency, a little bit more personality than we are used to seeing in Disney princess characters. But the narrative still makes sure that she doesn't really get to do anything, doesn't really get to take any action to influence the direction of the story, doesn't really get to exist in the story outside of just being the romantic interest. And it really kind of screws her over again and again.
Yeah.
And unless I am missing something, an all-white cast... to this movie.
The voices, yes.
All white voice
Voice
cast.
Actors are all white. And some of them, sometimes.
All white, written and directed. Just.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
There is that scene in the very beginning before we get into Agrabah where Robin Williams does this voice too, where he's like trying to sell you like a bong that makes Julian fries or whatever. And he's doing an accent. So it's like this white guy doing like a vaguely Arabic sounding accent, and it's like it's just the problems keep piling up.
It's offensive.
Also,
I didn't realize that was Robin Williams until this viewing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I think I probably knew, and then I forgot probably, and then I had to listen to it really carefully, and I was like, oh yeah.
You're like, oh, yes, you can't. That wasn't necessary, but it is a choice that they made.
Yeah.
Like so many things in this movie.
Toward the end of the movie, it's like after they've defeated, after Aladdin has defeated Jafar, and he's like debating whether or not to free the genie. And the genie's like, it's fine. It's just, you know, an eternity of servitude, but this is love. So make sure you do that. And then he says, you're not going to find another girl like her in a million years. Believe me, I've looked. And that's basically saying she's not like the other girls.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, she's stick with this one. And then against all odds, Aladdin's like, no, genie, you're not my slave anymore. Yeah. What a hero I am.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's the, like, should he truly get credit for doing that? It doesn't seem like something that should occur.
And then Genie looks like Goofy and
goes to Disney World. Yeah. Slavery solved.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any other thoughts about Aladdin?
I did find it strange that there was a monkey in the Middle East, because I've never seen a monkey in the Middle East. Then again, a tiger either. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it's ancient times. What am I talking about? Everything is possible. But it is, I find it interesting that she has no friends, that Jasmine has no friends, and just, like, her female pet tiger. And she's still, like, very competent about the world, other than, like, not knowing that an apple needs money, I guess. But, like, yeah.
Right, you think she'd be a little more, like, if she has never stepped outside the palace walls, like...
She's only interacted with her father and, like, the guards and Jafar and stuff.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's something that I don't know if there's like a technical term for what exactly that is, but I feel like that comes up sometimes with female characters.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like a yes queen kind of feminine. Like women can do anything. Yeah. It's like, but they need to learn.
It's like
first.
A naivete that's like very, she's naive, but it's not unattractive. And it's like, I want to show you the world. Like, I want to like introduce you to everything. And like, yeah.
It's almost like, is it kind of like the Born Sexy Yesterday trope?
A little variant of that.
And yeah, I think it's also like it plays into the fact that like she's a virgin. He's going to show her how to have sex. Like it's kind of just like.
Again, he
like,
fucks.
Yeah,
he
fucks. Exactly. It's like there's a trope where it's like you're a pure, untouched, unknowing person. And there's a certain sexiness about someone teaching you for the first time or like showing you the way for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I just found that a little interesting on this viewing.
Well, and also along the lines of like her lack of female friends or interactions with any women, like Disney movies do this all the time, where if there are other female characters who are around whatever like princess it is, they're either evil stepmothers, evil stepsisters, animals, or some other villainous
set dressing
people. And there's almost never anyone that she can actually like talk to and interact with in a meaningful way until like Frozen, and then you know you can listen to our episode on that for that whole discussion. But there's just, it's so rare to see women interacting in a Disney movie. Hey, that brings us to whether or not this movie passes the Bechdel test.
Guess what?
No,
it doesn't even come close.
No,
there's no opportunity.
Mm-mm. The closest it comes is that, as we talked about, the like group of three like belly dancer dressed women are in a couple songs. One Jump Ahead. And they show up again in the Prince Ali song. And in one of them, they're like singing near each other. In the other one, they are sort of looking at each other while they're singing. But in both songs, they are singing about Aladdin.
And I was going to say
I was going to say the closest thing is when Jasmine is talking to Raja in the beginning, but I don't know if that counts because Raja does not respond.
She does not verbally respond in human language.
Yeah.
So, but she is named. So there's a few close calls.
Yeah, but no, it's not that.
Nope, not at all. So with that, let us rate the movie on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. I'm going to go with 1.5 for Aladdin. Mm-hmm. I do like, as we've said, if you isolate Jasmine as a character and the intelligence she displays, the stances she has on things, she does have some degree of agency. And, you know, she's always saying, like, I'm not going to let people decide my future for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a prize to be won. So in that regard, she is maybe a proto-feminist icon. But because the narrative doesn't care about her really, except to make sure that she is the romantic interest of Aladdin, she doesn't really get to do all that much or make that many active choices or exist in story outside of her relationship to Aladdin. So the movie gets a lot of nipples taken away for that. It is nice to see a woman of color be a Disney princess. Mm-hmm. This is one of the earlier ones, if not,
Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
The first one.
So it is like, you know, Shireen, for you, when you're seeing this as a kid and you saw yourself represented to some degree in Jasmine or Raja. So it is nice for that. But because the movie doesn't really handle like Arabic culture very responsibly, it doesn't do that great of a job. Yeah. So 1.5 nipples. Jasmine is cool, but she doesn't get to display her coolness all that much. And my nipples, I'll give 1.5 nipples to Raja.
I want to go 2 because I want to give Aladdin nipples for the first time in his life. But I'll also do 1.5 for basically all the reasons that you said. And I'll also tack on losing points for overly sexualizing a non-white female character, a trend that they will continue to do with Pocahontas and Esmeralda and like into infinity as long as these same 5 male directors are still directing every single Disney movie.
Shouts out to Ron Clements, John Musker, Ted Elliott, and Terry Rossio.
Look out. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think you summarized it very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a nipple and a half, so close to Aladdin.
I think I will give... I really do like Jasmine's character. I think her personality is great. I like that they made her strong and stuff. But I agree with everything you said as well. And just it doesn't handle the culture well. It sexualizes women of color, and would have been nice to just have another female character at all that had speaking lines.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna give one nipple to Jasmine.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because there's Jasmine's the only female character, but as far as the male characters, we've got Aladdin, mm-hmm. Abu is gendered mm-hmm. male, the genie, the Sultan, Jafar, Iago, all of Jafar's guards. Like, it's just like mm-hmm. countless male characters and just the one
lady. I do have to say, I love Aladdin, and it's a fucking blast of a time. And even watching it as an adult, it's still so fun. And mm-hmm. I love Robin Williams. I miss Robin Williams. And I'm still sad for Robin Williams. And
I
will never be the same. I'm so sorry. there's a sentimentalness to Aladdin that I cannot ignore for me.
Sure, same.
And it reminds me of watching it with my sister. It reminds me of playing the video game. It reminds me of, like, just being a kid and not realizing it was problematic yet.
Definitely.
Being, like, the ignorance is bliss thing is so true as a kid, because you're mm-hmm. happy and little things make you laugh, whether it's Genie doing something stupid or whatever, and it's just like, it reminds you of when times were simple.
Definitely. Yeah, like, you can still love movies that we as adults realize are problematic, but as long as
you talk about them on a podcast.
There's so few that aren't.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Shireen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Yay. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Where can people follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at Shireen Y, Shireen, SHEREENWHY. And then on Instagram, I'm Shiro Hero. I don't know if any of you guys are going to be in New York on July 29th, but I have a short film screening at the MoMA.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. There's going to be a Q&A after the screening. So if you guys want to see a cool movie, and it's in collaboration with an exhibition called The Future of Film is Female. So if you guys want to see some cool short films, it's me and 7 other filmmakers featured that night. So it will be fun to have you guys there. And
congratulations.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
I'm super stoked and just kind of honored that I'm even included in the lineup, because it's like people that I really like. But other than that, I have a poetry book on Amazon if you guys want to read it. It's called Dime Piece. And yeah, just follow me on the interwebs and keep up.
And listen to Ethnically Ambiguous.
Yes, Ethnically Ambiguous on How Stuff Works.
Yeah, your co-host being, of course, Anna Hosnier, who was on our She's All That episode.
Another great fucking movie and episode. Solid.
Yay! You can follow us, the Bechdelcast, on social media. You can go to our website, www.bechdelcast.com. We have merch on sale there. We have our episodes on there. We have everything you could ever want. And you can also sign up for our Patreon by going to patreon.com/BechdelCast. That gets you 2 bonus episodes every single month, and it's only $5 a month. What a steal.
Whoa.
And otherwise, what do you say we all go on a magic carpet ride?
Oh, sounds good.
Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.